Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Of course, it is the Morning Crossfire, and we are still in our anniversary month here on Nigeria Info 99.3. I'm Sheriff Kotri. Nice to meet you. Olamide is here. Olamide is a bearer of good news.
Sheriff. Yeah. Good morning, Sheriff.
Good morning to you.
Yes. We're back, and you know, as we do, and we give out 10,000 naira every day as in celebration of our anniversary. Now, today's hunt is very interesting. You know, over the weekend, Sheriff, and we had two events, the Security Summit.
That's
and
right.
Also the GX
conference
yes, right. held. But today's treasure will be related to the Security Summit. So we have pictures of that summit on our website.
Oh, like
pictures from the summit, a lot of pictures.
Nice.
But interestingly, just one of those pictures is
the treasure. Okay.
So they just have to go on, you know, download the Nigeria Info app. If you don't have it yet, launch it, then look for that particular picture that's clickable. Click it, fill in your details, submit, and boom.
So there are pictures on the website.
Yeah, we have a lot of pictures.
But one is only clickable.
Just one is clickable.
So when they click, what happens?
It takes you to another page where you can fill in your details.
Your details.
Then once you fill it in and you submit, hopefully you're the first person. First finder keeps the money.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah.
The result will be announced after the break, Abi.
Yes.
All right, Olamide, thank you. Thank you for dropping by. Huh?
Yeah.
Thank you. Lagos, best of luck to you. If you don't have the mobile app yet of Nigeria Info, go and get it right now to stand a chance to win 10,000 naira today on the Morning Crossfire. The game will be played on other shows as well. All right, so let's get on with our conversation for today. Last week, we started our conversation on domestic violence because October is the Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Even yesterday on Daily Digest with Jemidisu, it was discussed as well. And today we're having that same conversation. Now, let me lead you into our conversation proper today. A study conducted by Johns Hopkins School of Public Health reveals that one out of three women all over the world experience domestic violence in the form of sexual and physical abuse. The same study shows that one in nine men experience domestic violence, as well as it is estimated that more than 10,000 individuals die each year. More than 10,000 individuals die each year due to domestic violence. If this is not staggering, if this is not troubling, I don't know what is. Let me give you some more research. One in four women and one in 10 men have experienced sexual violence, physical violence, or, wait for it, stalking by an intimate partner during their lifetime. This is according to the US government, September last month, 2021. If you're part of those that stalk your partner, I guess you're in this bracket too. You can't escape it. Let me bring in my guest this morning. Olumide Kayode Omoshebi is here. He's an expert in this issue. And Olaide Kayode Omoshebi is also here. Gentleman, lady, good morning to you both.
Good morning. Good morning, Sir Sheriff.
Good morning, Sheriff. Thank you for having me here again.
It's good to have you here again.
Yes.
It's good to have you here again.
Thank
so
you.
This morning, because we had this conversation last week, we couldn't finish it. This morning, we'll try as much as possible to give people chance to speak to Olumide and Olaide. Olumide is an expert. Olaide is a living survivor of domestic violence. So it's going to be highly interactive. If you want to be anonymous, you're free to do that. What we're trying to do is to begin to have a cultural behavioral change to how we see domestic violence. Some people don't even know that when your partner, well, I will leave the experts, because a lot of people are subjected to verbal abuse and they don't even know that they are being abused. They have no idea. Olumide, let me start with you this morning, just so our listener understands what we are talking about. What constitutes domestic violence?
Well, domestic violence, for another word for domestic violence is intimate partner violence, means violent or aggressive behavior within the home, typically involving the violent abuse of a spouse or partner. Now, any pattern of behavior in any relationship that is used to gain or maintain power or control over an intimate partner is referred to as domestic violence or abuse. Now, abuse is physical, sexual, emotional, economic, or psychological. So it's not just grabbing a hold of you physically that constitutes violence or abuse. It could be emotional words said, harsh words, demeaning words. Then economical, that is when a spouse takes over your source of income, the financial, by telling you not to work, not to do this. It could be sexual. Some use sex as a tool of control. Well, let me just round that bracket.
Again, let's talk about why people... Because Olaide said something last week when she was telling her story, and she said something that really struck a chord. She said that the victim seemed to think that they are the problem in a relationship. Olaide, you have lived it. You have experienced it firsthand. How did you wake up? How did you decide that it wasn't your fault? I mean, what did it for you and said, no, it's not my fault?
Well, for me, it was looking at death in the face.
You were that close?
Yes, I was that close to death. You know, I realized that I could die any minute. That was the first eye-opener. And, you know, at that time, I had 3 kids already. My last child was... I was pregnant with my last child, yes.
Okay.
That was what did it for me. I had 2 boys already, and I was pregnant with the last one. And I just told myself that I was going to die. There was even every likelihood I could die with the pregnancy or die during childbirth.
My God.
Or, you know, so at that point in time when my eye opened, I just told myself, I kept praying for strength. And I said, God, let me just give birth to this child safely and I'm out of here with my children. So that was when I knew enough, as in I could take other things. I kept postponing the inevitable. I kept postponing the day I would leave. I kept saying, okay, another chance and another chance, giving myself different reasons. Oh, because of the children, you know. But by the time I was pregnant with my last child, I realized that even if I die, these children would still live their life. So I need to be alive to take care of them.
Right.
So that was what opened it for me.
Was it also easy? Because I've heard Olaide, Kylie, I'll come to you in a moment. Olamide. I've also heard that what the abusers, what they use is to economically deprive their victim of their independence. Did that happen to you? And if it did, what was it like when you eventually left with nothing? Maybe I'm just guessing.
No, you're right. I left with nothing. But I'll get there in a moment. I need to put it out there that when I first got married, I had an internship, you know, this IT you do in school. I was in my final year in school, so I needed to do IT. I was studying accounting education then.
Okay.
So I got a job with the defunct a core bank, not Echo Bank.
Okay.
What's this? Echo Bank. It was just down is it Adjose Adeogun?
Adjose Adeogun, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And I got home that day, very excited, told my ex-husband then that, oh, I've gotten a job at the bank, blah, blah, blah. He was like, how? How did that happen? I told him I used his elder brother's name, which was the truth. His elder brother was a banker at National Bank then.
Okay.
So I went there. I was so confident of myself. I'm sure it was a lie. Sorry, you know. I just went there. I told the person, so-so person gave me a referral. We don't remember the person. I got the job.
Yeah.
And when I got back home, and he said, you can't work. I thought it was a joke. We kept, you know, going back and forth. I had to call in my parents. Mm. I needed to work and all that because it was difficult for me to ask him for money. Like you said, it was depriving me of funds. Mm. And to an extent, I'm quite independent. I like to have my own funds. I like to be able to do things. Mm. So after about 2 weeks of back and forth, the families begging and all that, I was lucky the bank waited for me.
Hmm.
The bank sent another letter and said I needed to resume or I forfeit the space. So I resumed and I went to work for 1 day.
Hmm.
1 day. And I came back home and he said, it's either your work or your marriage. You pick one. And I was naive. I picked my marriage.
Hmm.
So I didn't go to work the next day. So I was totally dependent on him. Along the line, when his own finances, you know, went crashing, I had to, you know, go fall back on selling Zobo, selling ice water, that time in nylon bags, there was no pure water, you know, selling juices that would mix and all that, just to have fun. I ended up being the one to feed him, feed the family, but still, I was abused. So, by the time I left, the day I was supposed to, I wanted to leave, I packed my bags and saying, look, I'm leaving. I had my daughter by that time, I said I was leaving.
Yeah.
And he came into the room, found out that I packed my boxes and all that. And he said, you're not going anywhere. Most of these things, I bought them for you. He opened up my box and said, pick out your mother's clothes, your late mother's clothes. That's what you're going to wear and leave this place. I needed to go and bring your marriage certificate so that I can divorce you and marry somebody else. So I left the house with just the euro and buba of my late mom, a pair of slippers and 200 naira that would take me from First Tack to Agege, not even to bring me back. So I left with nothing. But I'm happy because the moment I stepped out of that house and I got to my father's, you know, my parents' place, my mom was late then.
Okay.
By the time I got to my parents' place, I felt a bit of relief, you know, this kind of freedom.
Yeah.
Like I said last week, you know, you feel entrapped when you're in that kind of relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But the moment I stepped into my parents' house, I felt a bit of freedom. I was reluctant to go back.
Mm.
It was, what's the word now? I think, how do I, you know, you feel, you breathe this fresh air and you're like.
That emancipation, that feeling.
That feeling.
Relief,
you know. So. And at that moment, I told myself, even if that was what it's going to take, me not having money.
Yeah.
I was not having money in his house before.
Yeah.
So I just told myself, I will do everything necessary to make money than going back there.
Olumide, I'm going to come to you, but I need to stay with Olumide. I mean, Olumide, see, this is quite interesting. You know, there was a conversation Olumide and Jimmy had yesterday on their program about the impute of the family when these things are happening. What was the impute of both families when those things were happening in your marriage, in your first marriage?
Okay, you know, like I said last week, initially I didn't tell my parents.
Yeah.
I don't know if I said it here. I didn't tell my parents. Why? Because when I wanted to get married to him, my mom and all my sisters, my brothers, got to know about it. My father didn't know at first.
Okay.
And they were saying he was way older than I was, that he was going to cheat me, and that, you know, they all said no.
Mm.
After I was like, you know, I'm very close to my dad. I was very close to my dad.
How many years older then?
About 12 years.
It was 12 years. The gap between the two of you.
Yes, it was 12 years. So I went to my dad. I said, look, if all of you are afraid to tell my dad that Lady wants to get married, I went to tell my dad by myself. I said, look, dad, I'm getting married, blah, 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 this. I even told him I'm pregnant. And my father was a bit disappointed.
Yeah.
But because he loved me, he said, okay, if this is what you want to do, that's fine by me.
Mm.
You know, so later our firstborn, also because she just converted from a Muslim to a Christian, and she had this, you know, she was this born again.
That's your elder sister.
Yes, our firstborn, the eldest, and she's like a mother. She's old enough to be my mom, and she said, "Okay, I'll support you." So I had two supporters.
Okay,
I had our firstborn, and my dad.
And your dad.
So when every other person said, "No, you can't get married. You have to abort this pregnancy, this one, that one," I stood on my ground and said, "No." So. That was a dividing moment.
Mm.
Every other person said, you are on your own.
Mm.
So I had no support for my family. So when everything was going on, I couldn't go back to tell them, he was abusing me. I didn't want him to tell me, did we not tell you so? You know? So I kept taking him. On the other hand, his mom, his father was late. His mom loved him so much. I'm using loved because he's late as well now. Okay. You know? And the mom was more or less like a puppet in his hands. It was whatever he wanted.
He could manipulate the mom however way.
Yes. He was like the golden child. So he could manipulate the mom. If he tells his mom, this is what I want, he could shout, yell at his mom and all that. I believe the mom loved me.
Okay.
His mom.
Yeah.
She was quite supportive, but there was really nothing she could do. At times, she would come over to the house, talk to him. Man, no more. Yeah, I'm all no money. You know, those kind of things. But he did what he wanted. The mom felt bad, but there was really nothing she could do.
So no help? Did you at any point try to seek help?
From who now? From who? The only person I could seek help from was his mom. And she was powerless. I couldn't tell my parents. I couldn't. In fact, it took me about 4 years before I could even tell any of my friends.
4 years?
Yes, before I could tell any of my friends. By that time, I'd left the polytechnic. I'd gone back to the university again for another degree.
Mm-hmm.
So I think my friends started seeing that particular time I went to school with bruises, dressed, you know, shabbily and all that. And my friends were asking me. I had to now, tell them after so much probing. That was the only time, 4 years of abuse, before I could even open up my mouth to tell my friends. So the support system was there.
Yeah.
But I couldn't access it. Eventually, the friends that I told, two of them very close to me, took it upon themselves, came to my house then to talk to my husband in court. And instead of opening up, you know, he created this fable all around me and made me look like the bad person.
Like a demon.
Yes, thank God my friends knew who I was. So they left there and came back and said, like, they... Okay, in rojo. Okay, in rojo. Yes, I talk too much. That this guy can lie. I don't know how you are coping. I said, that is what I'm going through. But you know, it didn't go past that.
Yeah.
I couldn't seek for
when help. When you left the house, when you made that decision, did he try to reach back out?
Oh, yes. He did. And in trying to reach out, he was still making me feel that I couldn't survive without him. Because that's one thing, the other thing abusers do.
Yeah.
They make you feel that you can't survive without them. You know, I said that last week.
Yes, you did.
They make you feel that you can't survive. So he was coming back with threats. You know, he would threaten a little bit. He would show love a little bit. He would threaten a little bit, show love a little bit. You know, initially when there was call for reconciliation, he brought my children. You know, I left the house without the kids. He bought my kids, dumped them with me, without clothes, without food, without anything, knowing I didn't have money, I didn't have clothes. So I had to look for money to go and buy bend down for these children to wear.
Yeah.
So he felt that would punish me, that would drive me back to him. When I didn't go back, he came back, came to beg, and said, okay, we'll take care of me, blah, blah, blah. When I said, I'm not going, he started abusing again. So he was reaching out, but he was in his own way. He was still abusive, even in reaching out. Very abusive.
You know what we're going to do now? Let's see if we can squeeze in a call, just a call, before Olumide will eventually come into this. Because I feel that this story you've just told that we started last week, for those who missed out on this show last week, you can go watch it again on our website. It's right there. Then you get a sense of what we're talking about. It's because of time. I would have said Olaide can, you know, track back and, you know, begin. But trust me, we'll end up the way we ended last week. We'll not be able to do anything. Well, let's just go take some calls and then we can be prepared for what we're expecting next time, okay? 0700-993-993-993 and 01465-7190. Those are the two lines we're working with. Okay. I can't take any more calls. I'm sorry. The person that is on the line right now, Samuel, I'm really sorry. I need to head out now to this break. When we return, though, I would advise you not to stay on the line. You can please call back, okay? I'll be right back, Lagos. Stay with us. Now, let's get back to our conversation. I think Nitu Olumide and Olaide, thank you again for coming to the studio second time on Morning Crossfire. I think we need, before we go to the telephone, yes, I asked people to call in and yeah, the calls are coming in. But let's try and answer a few questions down before people call in. Olumide, how can someone spot an abuser or, if you like, a sociopath? How can they be spotted?
That is after marriage or before marriage?
Before.
Okay. I had mentioned to you that for me, marriage is the celebration of a successful dating process. You cannot have a bad dating process and then have a good marriage.
Yeah.
The dating is all. Dating is getting to know the character of a person. Now, a lot of times, people see signs that they ignore. People see things, get information that they ignore. A lot of time, Christians just believe the word. They just pray that it is well. You know, we'll pray about it. And but things are not prayerfully determined. They are physically discerned.
Right.
You understand.
Mm.
You can see someone's anger. You can see someone's pride. Pride is what you cannot hide. It is like a cloth. Mm. You know, those are people that have the tendencies for abuse. So when you see little things like that, you need to find out about who you are dating. You need to watch them, see their characters, get to know. Mm. And there are some characters that I say you can never marry. The first is a proud person.
A proud person.
Yes, people that no matter what, they are always right.
Mm.
They know about everything. Mm. Proud people, first of all, cannot empathize with you because they see you as beneath. They see them as smarter than you. What you are saying does not make sense.
Mm.
You understand? They are more about being right.
You cannot tell them anything that will make sense to them.
Yes, and for me as a Christian, you know, I tell you that God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Why would you marry someone God is resisting?
Mm.
You know, I put it that way. Then number two, you cannot marry a liar, someone that is, they are manipulative liars, pathological liars. Mm. You cannot. Three, a stingy person.
And you would know these people by...
Oh, liars. You get them a lot. There was one that, you know, she would say, she would catch him in a lie and say, promise me you'll not lie to me again, you know? Nollywood movies.
Okay.
You say, promise me you'll not lie to me. When you are seeing that this person lies a lot, then a hot-tempered person, person, you know, I think Proverbs 22:3 tells you, have no dealings with a furious man, with an angry man, do not go.
Mm.
You cannot, that is the shortest cut to domestic violence. People that give full expression to their emotions, they cannot hold, they do not have self-restraint.
Mm.
Avoid.
They can't manage their temper.
They can't manage their temper. Avoid them. Shouting, you know, pounding the floor, you know, warning you, you know, abusive people. You
What if they are not violent? They just shout and they are not violent.
You know, let me come in here. You know, some people just want to control.
Yeah.
I think that's another thing one needs to look out for.
Mm.
When you're dating somebody that likes excessive control.
Yeah.
Everything he
just,
wants.
Just want to dominate.
Yes.
Dominate everything.
Mm. He might not touch you, but by the time he or she does not get their way, he's our way, then there's going to be problem because they want to be in charge always.
Always, always. And this is applicable to both men and women.
Men and women.
Yes.
Men and women.
Oh, yes.
Men and women. So
yeah, let's move on. The liars, the anger people, the angry people, and what
proud.
Again? Proud.
The liar.
Liar.
The hot-tempered.
The hot-tempered.
The stingy.
Oh, that.
Yes. You see, stingy people cannot love. They cohabit. As long as you don't ask for anything, everything is okay. A stingy man can go hungry so that you don't ask him for money. You don't ask him for food. Now, being stingy does not mean...
I feel like you're talking to a lot of people today.
Yes.
Just go.
Yes. Let me tell you why. Mm. Stingy is not when you do not have.
Okay.
If you don't have, you can't give what you don't have.
Mm.
But stingy people have, but they find it difficult to give. To part with goods, to part with money, to part with
Emotions too.
There's emotional stinginess. That is people that will not pay you that compliment. They will not. They are not there for support. They are there. They just are quiet. You could be going through a bad time. They cannot empathize. They are stingy even with empathy and sympathy. You say, I see you not feeling that. If a man
you know,
they never really empathize. You're not able to confide intimately in them with things because you know they would. This one would just. So people with stingy people end up having another person who they can confide in. And when you are confiding in someone other than your own spouse, that is the beginning of another relationship.
Oh, okay. I didn't see it that way.
Don't be with stingy people. Okay. The stingy people that will not. It's difficult to give. You will end up sponsoring, paying for everything, because even when they have, that you would end up paying for everything. No support.
How about lazy people? Do they fall in that category?
If I think lazy people is by default. You are with someone who doesn't do anything, who no skill, no talent, no job.
Do they have the tendency to be abusive? I mean, is it a red flag?
It is a red flag, not for abuse, but for responsibility. You will end up doing
everything.
May nothing happen to you because you will suffer. For example, you lose your job, married to a lazy person, you are going to. I mean, may nothing just happen to you.
You know what? Let's hear people's story. Please, don't screen the calls. Let's just speak to people directly so we can get these stories in as quickly as possible. Please, when you're sharing your stories, we would appreciate you to be very brief. I know that sometimes it's hard, but just be try and brief. 0700-993-993-993 and 01-465-7190. Good morning to you. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Uncle Sherry.
Yes, please.
I want to. I have this friend of mine, and we're sharing for some time, and she was like forcing me to go into marriage, of which I didn't have that feeling for her, and. At last, we end up. Let me just put it like I end up being her enemy at last because I refuse what she was up to, what she was like telling me to do. So I don't know if your guest can enlighten me more about.
She wanted you to get married. You didn't get married, and you guys are not friends anymore.
Yeah. Like she was like.
What do you want from my guest to do? What's your question? What's your concern?
I just want a little advice from her because I was kind of feeling bad.
Do you feel guilty? Do you feel responsible for what's happening between the two of you? That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Lumide, be careful.
Madam, should I let me just be blunt. I'm very blunt.
Yeah.
Now, someone wants you to marry their own choice for you, not your own choice. And because you did not marry their own choice, her own choice, she's now angry with you.
Yeah.
Why didn't she marry her own choice? Yeah. Why is it that you choose who you marry? You understand? So why are you feeling bad? Because is it that the friendship to her is more important than your own choices, your own future? I don't understand. Why should that bother you?
Can friends be abusive to each other?
Oh yes.
Oh yes.
Do you think that's what's happening here?
Oh yes. I know of a case. This happened some time ago in Unilag. It was brought to me. They were in 200 level and they were all roommates and. There was a virgin amongst them.
Okay.
So when they were talking and, you know, this one, they got to know that this one, you're a virgin, you are not. So one of the roommates got offended that, you know, got a little envious that, because that one was like pure and these ones have been going out and she arranged that this roommate be raped so as to put an end to that virginity
status.
She arranged it. She was there. She pretended as if she was shouting, but she locked the door. She actually paid some guys, had some guys do it. You understand? So some people, out of envy, out of jealousy, I have a client whose parents forced her into marriage. Now she almost lost her life in the marriage, and now she's out. And the father was apologizing that you thought. Now this woman is left with two children and struggling.
So this caller shouldn't be bothered about. She didn't do anything wrong.
At all.
Okay, let's take another call. Nigeria Info, good morning to you. Oh, we lost that call. Let's jump on another one. Hello, good morning to you. Hi. I think we lost that as well. Another one is here. Good morning to you.
Hello, good morning.
Morning to you.
Yeah, this is calling from Odogwu.
Welcome.
Yes, when I want to marry, I have an issue. My pastor by then told me that I should not marry this lady that is not my wife.
Okay.
I'm presently now, I'm suffering because of that problem that time. Supposing I hear, I wouldn't have married my wife by then. Because the torture she's giving me at home now, I cannot control it. So I don't know what to do.
What is happening exactly? What is happening in your home?
She's just violent all the time.
She's violent.
Can I ask him? Is it that when you were dating, you didn't see that she had a hot temper?
No. She didn't do anything as such when we are dating.
How is it that other people saw it?
The family was not all that good. And the pastor happened to know about it.
Oh, wait. Hold on. What did the pastor tell you? What was the reason the pastor gave?
I should not marry her. She's not my wife.
What was the reason exactly? There was nothing.
The reason is that they have been together before I come in here. I was a new person by then.
In the church.
I don't know them very well.
Oh, in the church.
And he knew her history. He knew the history of the family.
Yes, exactly.
But did he tell you? Did the pastor tell you the history?
No, you didn't tell me. I didn't ask him because I didn't even understand them very well by then. Mm. But I just see the lady and I fall in love with her.
Does she beat you?
She did no respect from her side. Okay. Even from her family. Mm. There's no respect at all. Mm.
All right, Eze, let me take Olumide's thought on this.
A lot of times, you know, finding out about a person, you don't say you love a person. Love is the last stage. You don't. People get into trouble. You say, lady pass, you just say, oh, I'm in love. And then first thing they say is, I want to marry you. You want to marry what you don't know.
Okay, so I didn't ask a question as to for how long they courted.
But someone was telling you, don't marry. What I would do is, why?
Find out why.
Why?
At least investigate.
It's not everything it's not everything that you take. For example, my wife is here. When I was dating her, they said, no, don't add that this one, she likes this, she likes Aristo, bigger, and, you know, I was with her. And I looked at her and I told her that I heard that.
They said so.
And the same people told her too that she shouldn't. So when I asked her, she now told me my own that they said, me, I am this, I'm a gigolo, and I was like, okay. Then we continued in the dating. I properly dated. I found out about, and we exchanged. Her own was, please, you can never lift your hand to hit me again. And my own was, please, don't shout at me. You can talk. You see, you can.
You put everything on the table.
We put everything on the table.
Yes, we did.
The only thing she didn't want, she said she will not give birth to any child again. That, you know, because the trauma of what she went through with it. So I just kept saying, you know, I'm not your ex. I am not your ex. This is so. That was, we broke up at one time because of that, and I kept, you know. But you know, I dated other people. Within 3 weeks, I was back. I was like, you know what? This is. She has. It was just that issue of childbirth that was. I said, so okay, if you get pregnant now, will you?
What
will not happen? But you know, eventually, we agreed, and she was now the one even
wanting,
you know, it's, you lay your cards on the table. You can get anything from me, but don't shout. The moment you shout at me, you have lost me, and I can't take, that's what I cannot take. Don't shout at me. And everybody, you know, we put everything
you,
on
you
the table.
You know the boundaries.
We know our boundaries. Mm. She said,
let's take another call. Let's take another call. Good morning to you. Hello.
Hello, good morning.
Yes, good morning to you. Okay, that caller. Apologies, caller. I really do apologize sincerely for that interruption. I really do. 8:54 is the time. I feel like we can still squeeze in some calls. Good morning to you.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
This is another caller.
Welcome.
You know, the worst person to be with is somebody who is not working. Both male and female.
Okay.
Lazy wolves.
Yeah.
No matter what you bring to the table, they will feel like if I...
Hello? Hello?
Oh,
hello? Oh, I think we lost that call. Let's take another one. Nigeria Info, good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Sherry.
Good morning to you.
Please, my own is that if it is possible, let Mr. and Mrs. Olumide come on with this discussion every now and then.
Okay.
You cannot understand the number of issues they are treating and solving problems.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
Please, so many families are going through a lot these days. Especially all these credit marriages. You will see a man or a woman from somewhere, the next thing you follow the person who
credit,
has
okay, credit
husband
marriages.
And wife.
I don't
and
know what that is.
Treating these women as if they are animals.
Thank you for your thought, appreciate it. Let's take another one. Hello, good morning to you.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I think I need a little advice from you guys.
Okay.
I'm into a relationship. My name is Jigoba.
Welcome.
Yeah, I'm into a relationship. I don't know how to place it, but I think his anger is really getting on me. He's violent type. And every of our conversation always end up with him hitting me and giving me bruises all over my body.
And you are still...
Wait. Okay, go on.
And you are still in the relationship?
Yeah.
So would you rather go home bruised or go home in a coffin?
No.
This year, between January and April, we had buried 57 people. In March, we buried a spouse every single day for 28 days. On the 26th of March, a man killed his wife because of akamu, pap. He said he didn't like the way she... It's not that they wake up and they say, what am I going to do today? Let me kill my wife. But that push that someone will now slip and hit the head, or that slap that would bust an artery, it's not as if they intend to, but it's always a mistake. But there has been a history of abuse. Madam, please leave the relationship. What are you... Do you need spiritual intuition to leave that?
Wait. What do you need, Chizoba? What do you want?
Okay, the truth is, I think the kind of love I've been looking for some time, and comfort, I get it from him. It's just that violent part that is giving me headache.
Chizoba, if I can come in here. I'm sure you've been listening.
I'm
a living witness, you know, to this. I can tell you that what you're feeling is not love. Trust me on this. It is not love. And if there is any love in that relationship, it's one-sided. You are the one in love with yourself. What you're getting is what he's giving you in exchange for the abuse. For him, it's a trade by barter. He does not love you. Whatever you love, you don't damage.
Please.
If you love your body, for example, you know, you take care of your body, you have a bath, you use your cream, you try to maintain your body because you love your body. You will not wake up in the morning, take a knife and start slashing your body, or take a cane and start beating yourself.
Chizoba, you know what we're going to do because of time? Olumide has got something that he's planning for people who are in this situation. So I will just, we have about a minute, so I will just allow him to give out that information. So we can go today. Olumide.
Okay, please, if you might want to reach out to me by call or WhatsApp, please do so on 0909-3214-942. 0909-3214-942. On the 30th of this month, we have a seminar coming up just before you say I do, especially for people going through and people who are trying to make up their decisions. Why are marriages failing? How do I start dating? How do I choose? Understanding the signs of a bad relationship, recognizing when to walk away. Please reach out to me in celebration of the 10th anniversary of Nigeria Info. We're giving out 10 free tickets for this event. It's coming up on the 30th.
Awesome.
Please just chat me up. I would send you the flyer. You really need to come and know your left from your right. The Bible says my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. It is a matter of knowledge, not lack of prayers. It is a matter of knowledge. Please
call your number again before we go.
0909-321-4942.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Lovely couple. They're my best couple in the world. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I really do appreciate it.
Saturday,
yeah? The Relationship 360 is on Saturday, where Olumide will also be on the radio for 2 solid hours. He'll be on the radio for 2 hours. You don't want to miss it. Saturday morning from 7 to 9 on Saturday. Please tune in. I'm Sharif Quadri. That's our show today. Good morning to you.